as he reveals to us how much he truly loves us, our whole mission and our existence is to share that word with a lost and dying world. Many, you know where your pastor stands on a lot of areas, whether it's abortion or whatever it is. Listen, folks, that's not the main problem in our nation. Let me tell you why. When I said that, when I tell you that that is murder, those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, whether they say, I'm not going to do it then, I will proclaim it because I know that's what it is. But then they say, well, I'm not going to do it. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, all the good things that you do from a script, either written by man or by God, well, I'm going to do a good thing here and a good deed there, and that way I know that God's going to let me in heaven. The key to my salvation and the salvation of the world is Jesus Christ. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Now, we need to be thankful as Christians. And for those who are not Christian, be thankful that our God is a God of grace, a God of love. He is not slow in his coming back, as man will count slowness. He hasn't come back yet because he has offered to all generations. I don't have any idea how many generations are left, nor does anyone else. But however how many they are is by appointment of God. Has to be. We would have already destroyed ourselves. Most individual families have already done that. We see destruction after destruction after destruction, and we say, I don't know what to do. Well, let's look at that today. And I want us to look at the period in which we're living. And that I ask God to set my soul on fire, set it on fire, for me to be thankful, for Thanksgiving, to be thankful. God, give me the commitment of the giving. Thanksgiving, giving thanks for what we have. As God leads us into the Thanksgiving. Now, you don't need to change it up there, Jesse. But I want you to see what I'm going to hit with the scripture. Thanksgiving, forgiving, and all giving. Thanksgiving, forgiving, and all giving. First of all, let's look at the Thanksgiving. I give thanks to God. What do you give thanks to God for? Everything. I give thanks to God. I have nothing outside of the love of God. There's no gift that the human being can give to another which would be greater than the thanksgiving that we give to one another because Christ gave to us the desire and the concern to love. We love the unlovable. Are you married? Did you realize that in marriages, either one at any time could be very unlovable? I don't know whether y'all have noticed that or not. But it can happen. You love an individual, but what they're doing and how they're acting and how they're talking, you don't love that one. Well, see, love goes so deep that who we are as individual human beings, God places love in our heart. And says, I love you. I love the grouch. I love whatever is going on. God says, I love you. And so if God loves me, Do I thank him for it? How thankful truly are we? Do I believe so much in the salvation of the Lord that I would be thankful enough to share my love with others in inviting them to come to the house of God? If I said that I love individuals and then I don't invite them to come in the presence of God, what have I missed? There are many in this world who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life just by watching a Christian and experiencing the love that that Christian shares with them. So therefore, if I have the love as I do from Christ himself, am I thankful enough to share that love? Share that love with people that don't really care much about you? See, that's none of my business. My business, your business, is God's business. It is God who convicts. You cannot convince anyone to truly accept Christ if the Holy Spirit has not convicted them. Doesn't work. It's a man thing. So the Lord tells us, here's the guidelines I want to give you. I want you to pay attention to them because it's God's plan and we need to be thankful for God's plan. My plans haven't worked out very well in life. Well, this is what I'm going to do. We'll save everything for a great, big, happy retirement age. And then I go to the funeral home and look at those. You see, and I'm not against retirement. You all will probably retire me one day. But the thing is this, all I have to give is what God has given to me. And the most important thing that I have in my heart is the love of God. And I want to give that love to others. That's why our sign outside says, whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can. I want to share God's love. The church is being attacked. And I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. If believing in Jesus doesn't mean anything, why are the enemies of Jesus trying to kill all those who worship him? If it's not real, what are they afraid of? You know, one of the greatest fears I've seen in some of the roughest criminals I dealt with over the years was this. When a chaplain says, look, you're a jerk. What you did was about as ungodly that could happen. I don't even like looking at you. You know what chaplain said that, don't you? But here's one thing I will tell you. I love you. You know what the problem is? Many have never really heard, I love you. And when they hear it, they don't know what it means. It's foreign to them. Yeah, those my kids over there, and, you know, let them go, turn them loose. Don't want them around me anymore. Well, I love having my kids, your kids, and any other kids around me. Some of the adults I'm not too fond of, but the kids I love to death. Think of that. God says thanksgiving. So a Christian looks at his life, her life, and that Christian looks at God's word. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, you got that? Whatever you do, that sort of encompasses it all, doesn't it? Whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's us praying in the name of Jesus. That's the thanks Because you see, Jesus happens to be the one that connected us to God the Father, to eternity with Him. We are His children, He says. I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. Well, that's just for us, right? Jesus Christ died for the whole human race. And He said, whosoever will, let him come. The sadness is, many will never come because they have to weigh the difference. If I go to church, I wonder what people will think of me. Well, let me give you another direction to think of. Now, you're going to die. I don't want to pop your bubble too soon, but you're going to die. And the Scripture says, the wise man thinks of death often. The fool does his own thing, or the fool chooses the world. Whatever translation you want to get it in. The wise think of death often. Oh, it is so gloomy. Not if you know you're not going to die. Not if you understand that God says you don't have to worry about it. What they see in your human body is not who you are, because you are spiritual, you are my spirit, and as soon as your task on earth is through, you come into me. They can have this body. Good gracious. I want to be able to hold both arms up, Brother Rennie. Because it's broken. And it's going to go back to the dust. And the Lord said, whoever loves me, whoever will accept my love, I will give to you a new body. What is that new body? It's called a glorified body. Jesus had it. After his resurrection, I just love reading the Scripture on that. I guess from my human thinking and all, that's pretty cool when Jesus enters a room without opening a door. And then he just leaves and nobody sees him. The door's locked. See, that's sort of shallow thinking on my part. But I like shallow thinking because that's neat. But that's nothing compared to what He has waiting for us. I cannot relate to that because I've never seen it. You cannot relate to what you have never seen. But you know Jesus if you're a Christian. Yes, but I haven't seen Him. You've seen all of Him you need. For Jesus says, I am the Word. I am the truth. I am the life. Can you not see Him? Can you not picture Him on that cross and see Him? Can we not just think within the heart and the mind that Almighty God has given us, that as He hung on that cross, He called out your name and my name? Father, these are mine. Please welcome them into our throne so that where I am, they may be also. Jesus never prayed a prayer God didn't answer. So I don't sweat that part of it. You know what really bothers me during the Thanksgiving, Christmas era, other than other things I've discussed with you all? It is this. During this time of Thanksgiving, you will see hatred and bitterness abound. You will witness those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior becoming more vile during this time. If the people do not believe anything about, nothing about at all of who Christ is, well, what do they care if He's not real? What do they care if crazy Christians like us then, we say, yes, I believe. And I'm thankful to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, for it is through Him that I am saved. My punishment was taken. I see Him. I see Him. I hear Him. He called my name. How do I know that? I read the book. It's called the Bible. Pick it up and look at it. For you will see the ultimate Word of God. And in that ultimate Word of God, you will see the greatest love and love story that you'll ever read about. Now that will be a book that you become a part of, for it's written to us. We are all players in that book. We are all a part of when the Lord says, if my people, we are His people. Don't you think we ought to read the guideline for our life that God set forth? I said, and I read all of the instructions of putting things together. First Christmas with our son, right along there, we bought toys that had to be put together. Any of you with children know that the people out there who make the toys don't like you, and they want you to understand that they're getting ready to show everybody in the family how dumb you really are. It's a kid's toy. God said, be thankful for what you have. And by the way, Larry, I put you together. I put you together. I not only spoke and you came into existence, I built you in your mother's womb. I protected you in your mother's womb. I have always been there for you. And there will never be a day when I'm not there for you. So now I look forward to the day instead of I'll be there for you. Come on up. I'm here with you. Now He's here in my whole being. I will see Him face to face. Thanksgiving, the next is forgiving. Oh, this is a hard one, but let me explain something to you on this. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, who's Paul talking to? The church. He's talking to the church. Folks, the Bible had been written from the beginning to the end concerning the Hebrew nation, the people of God. It's written to us. Well, yeah, but you know, everybody ought to read the Bible. Yeah, you tell everybody that when you haven't read it yourself. Sure, go ahead. It happens to be the outline for my life and your life. But He says, I want you to forgive each other. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Oh, there were splits right and left from the first century church. It got downright dangerous. That's why a lot of us think that was the Baptists began right then. It got downright dangerous. And Paul said, you're eating and devouring one another. Then he says, it ought not be so, brother. It ought not be so. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now let me remind you again of the scriptural truth of forgiveness. Many people say, well, you know, I forgive them, so therefore that means all is fine and we'll get it, hook up again together, get around each other. That's not at all what Scripture is talking about. Think about ourselves as human beings. Forgiveness for the Christian must be instantaneous. I forgive you. But that Christian needs to also have enough wisdom to stay away from the situation. You got it? I forgive you, meaning I'm not going to let what you've done control my life and I become a bitter, bitter individual because I'm a Christian. Forgiveness instant. Trust must be earned. Trust must be earned. It's not that I would hate anyone, but I can tell you this. I don't want to be around them. I'm just dealing with my own biological family. I just don't want to be around them. I love them. I love them better when I don't have to deal with the foolishness with them. I have no anger. You and I have a lot of hurt. Got to love through that, folks. But don't be foolish. Oh, I trust you now. Come on home and I hope you won't beat me again. You come see this pastor first. Let me tell you, that doesn't change with those folks. Unless a miracle of God overshadows them. But God said, I want you to think of forgiving. I can. But one more thing on this. Listen. Anything that anyone does to me personally, I can forgive them for that. It's against me. But I don't have the authority to forgive somebody for what they've done to you. I am not given that authority. Well, preacher, you're a preacher. You got to forgive them. What are you talking about? They haven't done anything to me. Therefore, it is that individual in which has received their perception of evil. Forgiveness? Sure. Trust? Sometimes we'll go through the rest of our life and never be able to receive that. But I have witnessed time and time again many wives that have ended up destroyed because all they wanted to do was to do it right and keep forgiving and keep doing this. Let me warn you, folks, from God's word, protect the children. Protect the children. If their adults are too cocky for you at home, send them to me. You protect the children. And last, it's a big one. Huge. It's a big one. All giving. All giving. Larry, you are my servant. I've touched you, given you the gift to proclaim my word. Now I want you to proclaim. And I want you to be all inclusive in your giving. I want you, totally, all of you. I want, well, let's listen to it. Mark 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The whole focus here, Mark is getting to, that as a Christian, folks, it's all or nothing. All your heart. And with all your soul. Soul here relates to your physical being. The human condition. All your heart. I mean, how can I, my heart pumps blood. The physical heart pumps blood. It's a metaphor. It pumps blood. When it quits pumping, you're gone in the body, but not in the spirit. And with all your soul, that means we got to take the body there before our spirit can talk to someone. Oh, I'll be with you in prayer, preacher. I'll be there in spirit. We have a huge church that's full of spirits flying around somewhere. Listen, If I'm going to be with you in spirit, this body is going to walk to you, and you're going to hear from my spirit through the heart God has given me, a heart of love. He says, I want you to do it in all things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I only have those attributes, that condition in the human body. I don't need them in my spiritual body. In my spiritual body, I'm not going to witness because I'm with people who are already there. The Word of God is alive, and I will be able to listen to His Word finally and understand it. Because I read the Scripture, and today it means this to me. So I preach it. And I get back in the same Scripture, and I think, how did I miss that? John 3:16, I could keep preaching from the time I was called to preach. There's a different sermon in that every time you stand up. What God is saying is, I want you to have a commitment of giving. Many times Christians close their ear when a preacher says anything about giving. All he wants is my money. No, he don't. No, he don't. Commitment of your love, that you will love God's way and then share that love with those who have no idea what love really is. Not every parent loves their children. Not every Christian seems to be loving another Christian. Do Christians lose it sometime? Well, let me add something to that for you. Christians seem to be losing it almost all the time because we're pulled from both sides. The world pulls us one way. Our mind tells us, you know, that's common sense. Well, let me tell you, folks, God's Word is not common sense. It's spiritual sense. I am not called to have common sense. I'm called by God to use the spiritual sense that He has given me to preach and proclaim the hour of thanksgiving. It's in your heart. It's in who you are. And one day, you will cry. And you will believe that something's wrong with you. Because a vile human being, and one maybe of the most vile, you looked at and you loved them. That's a horrible feeling, humanly. You got me? That's a horrible feeling. It makes you feel broken. Sometimes it'll make you feel like, you know, am I even a Christian? You all would be surprised, folks, how many pastors are in the pulpit that question whether or not they're born again. You would be surprised of how many are in the pulpit that'll let you know. Well, now, I don't believe the Bible all the way. That means they don't believe the Bible anyway. You either preach God's Word, preacher, or I'm coming to have a talk with you. Folks, before I came to Vine Grove Baptist Church, I was interim at a church. Many of you know this story. I'm going to tell you again. I was interim at a church. A lot going on. And God said, you stay. It got so bad. I mean, drugs and everything else with the people in the church dealing with it and all. Now, here's what hurt me. They were my relatives. Two or three deacons. And I became so angry one day, and Faye has told me if I ever do that to her again, she'll kill me. One day I stood up and I said, people, I quit. I have never seen such evil in any church in my life. I grew up in that church, folks. I don't want a meal. I don't want you doing any of that because it's phony. I'm leaving. I had to get Faye out from under the pew, and God let me know something. You shouldn't have done that, Larry. I called you there for a time to straighten it out. You quit. From the day that I was called to preach, folks, from that very day, that Sunday, I was preaching somewhere about every Sunday. Revivals and all. Even when I didn't know what a revival was. Yeah, I'll preach a revival. Let me see, what does that mean on real? The day I quit and said I give up at that church, I did not fill a pulpit for one solid year. I had been grounded by God because I was not thankful to Him. I dealt with my own human emotions. I didn't trust Him because I didn't believe that I could do it. And I was right. I couldn't. He's the one that had the plan. One solid year. Now, you be called to preach and then God ground you for a year. You need to feel that one. Now, that's a grounding, folks. And then 1 year later, I was called by Vine Grove Baptist Church to come as interim. That was 22 years ago. My fear has never been of man. I don't know why, I just don't. But folks, I am not going to willingly be grounded by God again. I am going to follow His direction. I'm going to preach what He calls me to preach. The rest of it's up to Him, not to me. You and I, on this Thanksgiving focus, be thankful when God chastises you. But learn from it. Learn from it. And you want to learn a lesson? The greatest lesson you'll ever learn. I got you, Larry. I got you. And you know, I have a love in my heart for you all. Man, and you know it, of my love for you. And as Randy shared maybe a year or so ago, I believe, Larry, that you do. But you didn't always love. I love both of them. But you see, that's the key. I don't get to pick and choose who God sends my way. But I'm ordered to love no matter what the situation. And if I will focus on an individual with love and you focus on that individual with love, I guarantee you this. You will watch God at work in that individual and in your life. Time is short. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Father, for the love, the blessings that only you give us. Touch us now, Heavenly Father, as each of us search our heart for the truth you want us to share, the main truth that you love us just like we are. Help us now, Father. Give us the courage and the holy boldness to stand true to you, for we beg it in Jesus' name. Amen.